Bibles, please, for our second reading to Jeremiah chapter 22. Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Thus saith the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah, and speak there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, that sittest upon the throne of David, thou and thy servants, and thy people that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, execute ye judgment and righteousness, and deliver the spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor. And do no wrong, do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor the widow, neither shed innocent blood in this place. For if ye do this thing indeed, then shall there enter in by the gates of this house kings sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, he and his servants and his people. But if ye will not hear these words, I swear by myself, saith the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. For thus saith the Lord God, or saith the Lord unto the king's house of Judah, thou art Gilead unto me, and the head of Lebanon. Yet surely I will make thee a wilderness, and cities which are not inhabited. And I will prepare destroyers against thee, every one with his weapons, and they shall cut down thy choice cedars, and cast them into the fire. And many nations shall pass by this city, and they shall say every man to his neighbor, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this great city? Then they shall answer, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God, and worshipped other gods, and served them. Weep ye not for the dead, neither bemoan him, but weep sore for him that goeth away, for he shall return no more, nor see his native country. For thus saith the Lord, touching Shallum, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, which reigneth instead of Josiah his father, which went forth out of this place, he shall not return thither any more, but he shall die in the place whither they have led him captive, and shall see this land no more. Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness, and his chambers by wrong, that useth his neighbor's service without wages, and giveth him not for his work, that saith, I will build me a wide house and large chambers, and cutteth him out windows, and it is sealed with cedar and painted with vermilion. Shalt thou reign because thou closest thyself in cedar? Did not thy father eat and drink and do judgment and justice? And then it was well with him? He judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well with him. Was not this to know me, saith the Lord? But thine eyes and thine heart are not but for thy covetousness, and for to shed innocent blood, and for oppression, and for violence to do it. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, they shall not lament for him, saying, ah, my brother, or ah, sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, ah, Lord, or ah, his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. Go up, Lebanon, and cry. Lift up the voice in Bashan, and cry from the passages, for all thy lovers are destroyed. I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou saidst, I will not hear. This hath been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. The wind shall eat up all thy pastors, and thy lovers shall go into captivity. Surely then shalt thou be ashamed and confounded for all thy wickedness. O inhabitant of Lebanon, that makest thy nest in the cedars, how gracious shalt thou be when pangs come upon thee as the pain of a woman in travail. As I live, saith the Lord, though Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee thence. And I will give thee into the hand of them that seek thy life, and unto the hand of them whose face thou fearest, even into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. And I will cast thee out, and thy mother that bare thee, into another country where you were not born, and there shall you die. But to the land whereunto they desire to return, thither they shall not return. This man, Coniah, a despised, broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into a land which they know not? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days. For no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so what have we heard in these last two chapters? In the last chapter, remember, King Zedekiah called Jeremiah near and said, "Oh, Jeremiah, tell me if the Lord will not rather do wondrously for us." Remember that? So now, after Zedekiah gets the answer, now we have Jeremiah being commanded by the Lord to go and preach at the gate of the king's house, and to preach to him all of the things that are about to come upon the house royal because they have turned away from the Lord. So there are several things said here that are very picturesque. They are analogies put for something else. But let's go ahead and work through the passage pretty quickly so we can get to the afternoon sermon. First of all, notice that there is a mercy in this, that the Lord continues to send his prophet to his people. Now, this comes after 18. Remember chapter 18, where the Lord says, "If I told you, I would curse you, and if you repent, I won't curse you after all." And so we have to understand it in that broader context, that in that the Lord has raised up Jeremiah and told him to go to the gate of the king's house and to preach there, that there is yet hope. Whenever the Lord is sending the word to his people, there is yet hope. It's that famine of the word of God that we fear. Well, even at this late date in the nation, the Lord had not sent that famine as of yet. Now there are times when prophets are raised up, certainly Isaiah was raised up for this cause, that his ministry would be a ministry of hardening while speaking the truth. That doesn't mean that there wasn't anyone in Israel and Judah during the preaching of Isaiah that was unconverted. It means that for the most part the nation was going to be hardened by his preaching, and yet we know that doctrine of the faithful remnant of the people of God in the visible church, and that there would be a few that would repent and call upon the name of the Lord. So also here with Jeremiah. If they're hearing this word, and you know, the word of the chapter is what? What's the word of the chapter? Maybe we can put a title over the whole thing that will help us to understand it, understand the particulars better. The title that goes over the whole thing is, here's what the Lord is saying. If I can reach out and touch the king like this, I can touch all of you like this. If I can pluck the king as the signet off of my finger and cast him away, I can do that for all of you. And the reference to Coniah is especially pertinent here. Coniah is the name that we know him as, not Jehoiakim, but Jehoiakin. Jehoiakim first, then Jehoiakin secondly. How long did he reign in Jerusalem? Anybody remember? 3 months. 3 months. The Lord says, "I took him away in 3 months." If I can do that to him, the one who sits on the throne, for his unrighteousness, for his oppression, for his greed, for his shedding innocent blood, I can touch the entirety of the nation. That's the point that the whole chapter makes. So Jeremiah is sent then to stand in the gate of the king's house, Zedekiah. And Zedekiah is to understand, "Zedekiah, hear the word of the Lord. You are under the Lord's authority. Rulers and kings of every stripe are God's ministers for good." And so it is their responsibility to rule as those who will be judged. And remember what we said back in the last chapter. We said that there was this cry against oppression, this cry against taking advantage of people, against using them and not paying them their wages, against taking their stuff and piling it up in the king's house. Because why? Well, because we're in a dire strait here and the king's house needs to go on. And so the kings would justify their oppression and their thievery and their shedding innocent blood and amassing goods and people to themselves to save the royal palace. Because as goes the royal palace, so goes the nation. So they thought. And so they thought that gave them leave to be oppressive and rapacious. And the Lord calls unto them through His prophets and tells them that they should not do oppression. It is the king's duty to sacrifice for His people rather than for them to sacrifice on their behalf. He is the one who has the greater opportunity to serve. And so that's what the first part of the chapter is about. We hear about oppression. We hear about not paying wages. We hear about not paying attention or doing no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, neither shedding innocent blood in this place. Of course, the stranger, the father, and the widow, they were the most disadvantaged, the most they had nothing to defend themselves against the movement of the kings. Right? And that is indeed the target of oppressive rulers throughout human history. It has been the weakest of their subjects that they have moved against. So then, if ye will not hear these words, verse 5, I swear by myself, saith the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. It's the king's house that he's talking about. Not Israel itself, not Judah itself, but the king's house. This house shall become a desolation. For thus saith the Lord unto the king's house of Judah, thou art Gilead unto me and the head of Lebanon. What does that mean? Well, you remember how beautiful and wonderful a land Gilead was, such that when the 12 tribes passed over that land, remember the 2.5 tribes came to Moses and said, this is a pretty good land here. Are you sure you all want to go down into the land of promise? How about if we just stay up here, we'll help you gain that land. That's how beautiful it was, right? And like Lebanon even today carries with it that mountainous, cedary idea. That the sweet smell and clear air and cool water and melting snow and all of that. And the Lord says, though this house has been to me like that, I'll take it down for its iniquity, for the oppression of this house. And so that's the first thing that we learn here, is that all those that are in authority must remember that they will give answer to God, and they are not a law unto themselves. All right, so then in verses 10 through 19, the king and his court are told not to mourn for the dead, nor for the captive that shall never see his homeland again. This is not spoken generally, but of Josiah, of Shallum, or Jehoahaz, or Josiah, who was taken captive by Pharaoh and brought into Egypt where he died. Not Josiah, but his son. And so in showing this of the king, the people themselves are generally warned that if it can happen to the king, it can happen to them. If it can happen to their leader, it can happen to the people. And the name Shallum, that's a nickname. It means the one who has been requited. The one who has been visited upon for his sins, in other words. The Lord then sets his sight on a third king, Jehoiakim. Note here how this king did not walk in the ways of his father Josiah. He built his house by oppression. He thought of service to himself rather than being a servant. He did not serve the house of the Lord but himself. He left off doing judgment and justice, and his burial then shall be the burial of a beast. Of course, kings always thought to have themselves buried with royal splendor and regalia. Instead, he will have the burial of a beast. So then in the final section, the Lord speaks of the king as of the entire nation. And so he identifies the king with the nation. He draws a line of parity between them in that the nation has been overrun with the kind of rapaciousness and oppression that has been found in the royal house. She has her idolatry. Her prosperity was not well used by her. She was habitually a nation that ran from repentance and hearkening to the Lord. And so there is warning of the coming judgment then. The false shepherds and the idolaters shall fall, and the nations with them. The gracious state of Lebanon, that is her supposed graciousness, will be seen for the presumption that it truly is. And who is this Coniah once again? He is the son of Jehoiakim, also known as Jehoiakim, as he was renamed. 2 Kings 24:6-8, we see that he reigned for 3 months in Jerusalem. So finally, they shall all come under the rod of Nebuchadnezzar. They shall be taken captive and die in another land. And the king, the father of the nation, shall be childless. Not childless in the real estate of childlessness, but childless in the estate that in the promise of David, remember, he's going to have one to sit on the throne. The Lord is going to wipe away Jerusalem and that throne, and there will be no throne for that king and his seed to sit upon. That's the kind of childlessness that's being spoken of here. So it's not a very happy chapter, but we do learn several things, don't we? That those who are in authority are very much responsible to the Lord. And I can't tell you how much this is going to dovetail with this afternoon's sermon. So providentially speaking, the Lord has given us some good preparation for that. All right, we'll stand and continue praising.